Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, church. It's really good to see all of you here this morning, and also for those of you who are online. Can you believe it's one more week to Christmas and 2 weeks to the end of 2021? As we approach the end of the year, we are now in the season of Advent. This season of Advent reminds us that as we celebrate Jesus' birth and incarnation 2,000 years ago, we are also celebrating a season of waiting for His second coming. For this Advent, we have begun a sermon series on practicing Thanksgiving. And this morning, I will be ending this series with a sermon entitled Grace, God, and Gratitude. And as we do so, let us turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Colossians 3, verse 12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Verse 14, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." As many of you are aware, I lived on a ship for 7 years called the MV Logos Hope, that's in the picture, before I came home 2 years ago. Now, on the ship, there's one new season that we usually look forward to and also dread at the same time. And this season is called the changeover seasons. Changeover seasons happens twice a year or once every half a year. And it's a time where as many as 40 to 100 people leave the ship and another 40 to 100 people join the ship over a period of 3 days. One group leaves, then 2 days later, a new group joins. It's a season of change as many close friends prepare to leave for home after living together on board for 1 or 2 years or even more. It's also a season, this changeover season, is a season of looking forward to meeting new friends who are starting a new season with Ship's Ministry. And while there is mourning and grieving and all kinds of dramas as people leave, and this is another story for another time, there is also a lot of enthusiasm, new energy, passion, and new giftings as a new batch of people join the ship. Each new group that joins the ship are given orientation on what it means to be a part of the ship's community. They are given safety briefings and trainings. They have to participate in drills as well as learn CPR and firefighting training. Alongside that, they are also given community guidelines and rules to help them to adjust on what it means to be a part of Ship's community that comprises of 300 plus people from 50 different nations. Because you see, what normal back home may not be normal to the ship, or may not be normal to another person's culture. So these guidelines cover dress codes, policies in going out, etc., to help the community, both new and old, to live together well, as well as to be good witnesses to the communities or the countries that the ship visits. Those who have joined the ship for longer are also reminded of the guidelines during this time, and it takes a new meaning for them as they go through the guidelines again. They actually now have the experience of the principles behind the guidelines that are shared to the new recruits. Similarly, when we read these verses in Colossians verses 3, chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, we see Paul giving these guidelines, giving a bunch of guidelines to the church in Colossae, who comprise of young believers. These guidelines show the young church how to treat one another and what it meant to live as a community of God and how. At the same time, I hope that as we read these verses again today, for those of us who may actually feel like older recruits of the ship, those of us who have been following God for many years will be reminded and re-challenged by these insights afresh, looking at it with experience and principles that God has given you as you faithfully walk with Him since you became a new believer. So Colossians 3 verses 12 says this, "Put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." I wonder what goes through your mind as you read these verses. Perhaps thoughts, experiences with the church and Christian community comes to mind. I want to focus on two things that Paul calls the church in Colossae. First is, he calls this church God's chosen ones. And secondly, he calls them holy and beloved. Now, those who are in the church are reminded that they are chosen by God. We did not choose God, but He chose us first. Where in the Old Testament, God's chosen people were the Israelites, Paul now widens this definition of God's chosen people to also the Gentiles, to the community of God, to the church. And so now, the church of God are now referred to God's chosen ones. So if you look around you, say, "I am God's chosen one." Okay? And you're also holy and beloved. The church of God is holy. Holiness here does not mean just to be good or do things that are good. Holiness here means to be set apart or separated. This separation is so that the community of God is distinct and they stand out from the community around them. The church is also much loved by God. Many of us may know, having been in the church for a long time, that the people of God are not always perfect. And yet, the church of God is much loved by Him. And so, Paul calls the church in Colossians to now put on, as opposed to put to death in verse 5. So if you go back a few verses in verse 5, it says, "Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, and greed, which is idolatry." And this is all in verse 5. In contrast, where we start in verse 12, he says, instead of putting to death, now that you've put to death all those things, he calls the church in Colossae to now put on, those of you who are chosen, those of you who are holy and beloved, put on these things. Put on compassionate hearts. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. And put on patience. All these five is not a comprehensive list of Christian attributes. Actually, each on its own are not easy to do, much less all five at a time. And yet, the church in Colossae, and now us, are called to put on these things as God's people, to reflect His work in their lives, as well as God's work in our lives. Now, these attributes are done only by the grace of God. As He shows compassion to us as His people, He shows humility, He shows meekness, He shows patience with us, the Colossian church, as well as us today in PGAFC, are also called to live and show it to others, to show this to show compassionate hearts, to show kindness, to show humility, to show meekness and patience to others as we choose to follow Him daily. There's also, after this list of things that you're called to put on, Paul goes on to say, bear with one another. And if you have complaints, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven. Let's admit it. God's people are not perfect. While there are many wonderful people in this church and in the body of Christ, I must also say there are some of the hardest and not so easy people to deal with. There are times where that we or others within the community may get offended by something that we sometimes, by something someone else has done, especially when we sometimes expect perfection from each other because the other person is a Christian. And now, as we come back and transition back to worshiping God on site as a physical church, and while there are many wonderful things in worshiping God together as His people, we now may also remember things that irritate us about with the community of God. Things that may make us upset or angry with one another within the church. I see some, every day in my WhatsApp chat, I get like things from the office staff. Oh, you know, Pastor, this is happening again. Oh, this is happening again. Okay? But Paul reminds us, as we live together as this community, as we wrestle with one another, as we rub with one another, he calls us to bear with one another. And on top of that, he reminds us to forgive one another. And this forgiveness is not something easy to do, as we have shared in sermons earlier this year. And this bearing with one another is not a passive thing. It's not just something that you wait for it to happen. Rather, there's an active part to it, and that is to forgive. And this forgiveness, as we have talked in also other sermons, does not come very easily, right? But yet, the Lord and Paul reminds the Christians in Colossians to forgive because the Lord has forgiven them, and they are called to now follow this example. Colossians 3, verse 14 to 15 says, "And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful." And so after talking about bearing one another and forgiving one another, Paul reminds the Colossian church about love and peace and being thankful. Themes of also the Christmas season, right? And he reminds us and the Colossian church, you can put on compassion, put on kindness, put on meekness, put on humility, but more importantly, above all these things, to put on love. Okay? And he also reminds the Colossian church to let the peace of Christ to rule as they experience community life with one another. Other than love, Paul mentions this importance of peace as it marks what it means to be the community of Christ. The community of Christ or the Church of Christ is peaceful. Paul also reminds us to be thankful, or the Colossian church to be thankful throughout all these things, and I'll unpack that a little bit later. Verse 16 and 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." As I mentioned before, some of us may have heard all of this before. But are we still doing these things? Are we still experiencing these things? Are we letting the Word of God or word of Christ dwell in us richly? Those of you, those of us who follow God, are we familiar with his word? How well are we in handling the word of God and letting it be soaked in our lives? While I must admit I do get stressed out whenever I have to preach, I am thankful also for the opportunity to go deeper into the word of God. Even for these 6 verses, I spent many hours just reading through and meditating. And this gives me an opportunity to let the word of God dwell richly in me. How about you? How do you study the word of God? And how do you let the word of God still continue to dwell richly in you today? Colossians 3 also says, Paul encourages the church of Colossians to also teach and admonish one another in wisdom. The element of teaching and rebuking one another as they grow as a community of Christ is also important. Living together as the body of Christ is not just about saying nice things to one another. There is also an element of teaching one another and rebuking one another. And as we live as a community of Christ, Paul also exhorts the Colossian church to sing psalms, to sing hymns and spiritual songs. This singing is an expression of worship and thanksgiving to God, whether it's through the psalms or in the Bible or in through hymns or just spontaneous form of worship. All of us are still encouraged to lift up our hearts to God in thanksgiving today. And as he sums up these 6 verses, Paul reminds the church to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and again, to give thanks to God the Father. And this is not, again, about just saying thank you to God and walking away. Giving thanks to God here is the kind that you really want to do something nice for someone out of this gratitude. There is this element that you want to repay. There's this element that you want to reciprocate with action, right? Have you had someone do something really nice for you and you feel like, oh, I really want to do something nice back for this person? And so in the same way, we are also called to have this sense of gratitude to God, to have this sense of wanting to repay him for the things that he has done for us. So even though as we look only at the 6 verses, we can see Paul has packed a lot into it, and I encourage you to even read the rest of Colossians as you go back today. And so I will just rearrange a little bit according to our title this morning, saying about grace, God, and gratitude. So just some reminder from the passage. Grace is about showing this grace of God to others within the community of Christ. How do you show grace to one another as we meet up with one another again, as we learn to live again as a community of Christ? How do we bear with one another and forgive maybe the things that may irritate us and the things that may be imperfect in someone else to us? How do we show love and exhibiting compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience? And how do you continue to let the peace of God to rule and reign in your life? And this is by the grace of God. Next, God. God should be the center of our lives as his church. We need to let his word to dwell richly in us. We need to remember that as he is the center. Sometimes that may mean that we may need to remind someone else if they are not following him. We may need to admonish, and we may need to teach each other how to walk with him. And we are also reminded to sing songs of thanksgiving, songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs unto him. And we'll do that a little bit later at the end of the sermon as well. And thirdly, I want us to focus a little bit more on gratitude this morning as we talk about this sermon series is about gratitude. We are called to be thankful, and we are called in verse 15, as well as with thankfulness to God, and we are called in word or deed to give thanks to God. And I don't know about you, this is not always easy to practice because I don't always feel thankful. All right? But what Paul is saying here is that there are different elements sometimes within our culture that does not make gratitude a normal thing for us, especially in this time of pandemic as well. And whenever someone thanks us in our Asian culture, there are times that we downplay it and say, no lah, small matter only, you know, or which may actually not be an encouraging response to the person giving thanks to us. Or maybe we only value someone, we seem, at least within our culture, we seem to value someone to do better and only give thanks or even give praise when they meet a certain standard or a certain mark. And this may not even encourage us to give thanks in the simple things or, you know, when we see someone doing something simple like arrange a chair or stand at the guard house to check your temperature, you know. And we seem to have within our culture this thing where we only give thanks when people achieve something maybe above 90% or above 100%. And I wonder whether this is why sometimes our Asian culture may seem a little bit more critical and we end up downplaying praise and thankfulness as doing better is emphasized. I'm not saying that's wrong, but we may want to just be aware. Maybe this is why we may not thank someone else so much sometimes. And so Jesus himself also emphasized in the parable of the 10 lepers, where 10 were healed, but only one came back to give thanks, showing that perhaps not many of us do give thanks quite naturally. And so these verses remind us this morning to be thankful, and to be thankful to God as we live and interact with one another as the community of God, to be thankful in all things, especially as we remember in this season the birth of Christ and him coming down to live and to die for us. So, what are some practical ways that we can show thankfulness as the people of God as we end this sermon series on thankfulness? And this morning, I know Pastor Jeremy gave some ideas, and Pastor Alexa also shared about contentment last week. And this week, I just want to encourage us to do three things, okay? You don't have to do all three. You can also pick one. And one practical way is to show gratitude daily. And maybe you want to write a journal or maybe say a prayer each day. Now, as I mentioned before, I've gone through depression before, and I'm reading as I walk alongside people also with similar journeys, I'm really finding out that gratitude is a really important part of mental health. And in fact, when I walk with someone who is experiencing depression, I do encourage them to write, and it really does help them to remember, not just to look at the things that are, you know, weighing them down, but also to remember there are things that they are thankful, that they can be thankful in the season that they are in. Number two, maybe you can also write a note or a card to say thank you to someone that you are thankful for. Or maybe nowadays, WhatsApp will also work too. Number three, as we reach the end of the year, maybe I would want to encourage you to even take an hour or so to write down and reflect on what you can be thankful for 2021. Maybe you want to start with what happened in January, going on to February, to March, to April, and to see what, even this COVID year, what the Lord has done in your life and the things that you can still be thankful for in this time. And I would encourage you, if you take the time to write it, maybe you could share it in a ministry, in your cell group, in the watch night service that's also coming up on Zoom. Or even in your ministry groups, or just share it with someone to bless them. And also, I think that would be a good exercise for you then to remember what God has done for you. And I also want to call up Uncle Richard as an example this morning, as I encourage you to write and think about what you can be thankful for. Uncle Richard has also a testimony to share with us this morning, and about being as he wants to give thanks to God for the things that God has done for him in his time. And so, Uncle Richard, would you come on up and share what God is doing in your life?
Good morning, PGFC. I want to be the one leper who come back and give thanks to God. That's what I've shared by Pastor Ruth this morning. It is said that the word of the year in 2020 was pandemic. And the word of the year in 2021 is vaccine. Generally, I agree with the choice of words, pandemic and vaccine. But for me, specifically and especially in this season of Advent, gratitude and thanksgiving, which is in line with a series of sermons preached by pastors of PGFC in this season of Advent. My name is Richard Kaur, my dear wife Alice, and my son Kent, and Catherine and Lydia, my two daughters. They are all raised up and in the Sunday school and the church. Now they are working adults. My cell group is TDDI1CG, and my members are all seated there, and my leader, Nancy Liu. And sometimes in August 2021, I nearly lost my life to the COVID-19 pandemic. At that juncture, my first dose of vaccine was of no use, no help. I contacted COVID after my PCR test shown positive. I think I got it from my mate, who was confirmed positive after her visit to the embassy to renew her passport. But Alice, Ken, and Lydia were spared. They were all negative. I was kept in self-quarantine in my own room. In the beginning, I felt pain on my back, started to develop coughing and vomiting at the same time. I felt feverish, fatigue, and loss of my sense of taste and smell as well. You know, even 3 teaspoons of Milo mixed with hot water, there were no taste of Milo at all, only taste of hot water. Not satisfied, I went downstairs to the fridge and took out the Mao Shan Wong durian from the and smell, and still there was no smell. My family members were very worried, and I could not get admission into the hospital. No bed. Finally, with the help of a close relative, my office managed to get me admitted to Sunway Hospital. But admission only for the next day. But my condition was already worsening on the evening itself. Thank God, that night a doctor from Sunway Hospital called me and asked me, Mr. Kaur, can I know your oxygen level? I have it, you know, 78. He said, I can't believe it, you know, I can't be 78. I take a snapshot of the oximeter and send it to me. So I send it to him, and immediately after reading the oximeter, he called the ambulance and asked for my house address and called the ambulance arrange for an ambulance. Before the ambulance arrived, I quickly took a quick shower. But upon putting on my shampoo and my body shampoo, I realized that I felt breathless and, weak. I quickly went to the toilet seat and sat down and took a rest. My oxygen level, as you know, were very low. I think my quick decision to stop my shower would have saved my life from any mishap. I could have easily fainted in my own bathroom by myself. It was around midnight. The ambulance arrived. Someone with a hazmat suit, you know, knock on my door, my room door, upstairs, and say, Encik, boleh turun? I say, boleh. When I came down the stairs, I saw Alice, Ken, and Lydia lined up with their face masks and their face shield on, standing across the dining table and waving at me and say, Daddy, we pray for you. Daddy, jia yu, you know. And Daddy, don't worry, we pray for you. It's at this moment, I felt like a sense of abandonment. I felt like a leper, alienated from my family. Before I could get into the ambulance, I took a quick look into my house, at my house, and saw and said to myself, I looked at my house and said to myself, this is my earthly house, which I may never come back and see again. This is what COVID could do to any family. In the ambulance, the assistant asked the driver, how long to reach the hospital? As you know, I'm from Taman Tun and to Sunway Hospital. As they felt that my condition was critical, they were a bit panicked. They said 35 minutes, replied the driver. It was raining and the road was slippery. The way the ambulance driver jumped the red lights and skittered along the slippery road, it's like a snake, you know, and it's like no brake, you know. And I started to pray again. I say, God, you didn't heal me from the, you didn't save me from my room and wanted me to end up on this road, in dying on the road. I was very worried, and you know, I started praying. On the way to the hospital, I recited Psalm 3. Confessed all my sins. You know, sins of my youth. Make peace with God, because God is holy, and the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. I remember praying, if God wanted to take me home, I was ready, as my children already grown up well. Working adults, and my company is also in good state. Upon reaching the hospital, I was trolled into the ICU. The doctor administered very heavy doses of steroid to rescue my lungs. I was diagnosed with category 5A or stage 5A infected patient. It was told to me that had I been admitted into the hospital one day later, I would have been a victim instead of a victor of COVID-19. Even my doctor treated me remotely and said if my medical condition did not improve, I may have to expect for the worst. The doctor later told my son that I have a 50-50 chances of survival. He even told my son I can write a book because I can recover so quickly. One of the mid afternoon, my Monday prayer partners sensed the urgency and they were led to organize a dedicated prayer for me. During the prayer, they sensed of the presence of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit ministering to me. Before that, for the past 2 weeks, I could not sleep due to my breathing, all my medical condition. Coincidentally, later in the afternoon, after their Zoom prayer, I could go into deep sleep and felt that the Lord was ministering and healing me. That is the power of prayer. It was while I was at this stage of my medical condition, fleeting from consciousness to semi-consciousness, that I began to realize that trusting God is no longer a theory, but an exercise of faith. As my life hung in the balance, this was where I realized a few things. One, that life is precious and a gift from God. And family is very, very important. Number two, that our riches, our possession, our status are of no help in the fight against COVID infection. 3, and trusting God is no longer a feeling, but a feel-good thing, but it's a decisive choice based on our relationship with God and the promises of God. In my struggle, I came to the point where I was prepared, even God deemed fit. If God deemed fit for God to take my life away, I was ready. That was my relationship with God. 4, that God will not leave me or forsake me. And trusting Jesus is enough for me, as God loves me. 5, I have taken great comfort that my family members, my CG leader, my CG members, church members, pastors, and my prayer group were interceding for me unceasingly. This was enough for me. I just want to share a few clips, slides, just to show that that was my lung during hospitalization in Sunbury Medical Center. You can see, okay, then after this is my lung after 1 month after the checkup, 29, post-COVID checkup. So you can see, okay, there's before and after. Before, you can see the southern part is actually like tsunami, you know, getting in, you know. So, and you can see this lymphatic counts was 0.044, the lymphatic counts. And after my COVID, is back to 1.73. So these are white blood cells in my body. So that is my, just to share my medical record about me. So what are lessons I have learned? Indeed, COVID-19 is a wake-up call for me. My life will never be the same again. I learned to be more empathetic to myself and others and to the situation around me, to appreciate life and family more, and to draw me closer to God. I'm so thankful to God for giving me a new chapter of life. When I woke up, I'm able to breathe normal again, even though I think I'm back to 90% of recovery. Maybe the doctor say my heart mo chin mo lan. Okay, I think it says it all right. As a closing, I would like to quote James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance or endurance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be matured and complete, not lacking of anything. Thank you.
Richard, for blessing us with your testimony this morning. We are really thankful alongside with you that He preserved your life. All glory to God. As we conclude the sermon this morning, I would like to end with a quote by this lady called Melody Beattie. She's an American author who survived abandonment, kidnapping, sexual abuse, drug and alcohol addiction, as well as divorce, as well as the death of a child. I also feel this quote from her encapsulates the testimony by Uncle Richard as well. She says this: gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. It turns problems into gifts, failures into successes, the unexpected into perfect timing, and mistakes into important events. It can turn an existence into real life and disconnected situations into important and beneficial lessons. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Now, we just get like us to rise where we are, and just whether you're at home or in the main sanctuary, and just think through this quote. Remember, Pastor Jeremy asked us to stop, look, and go a few weeks back. This morning, I would like us to take this time now to just stop and to think of the things that we would like to thank God for. If you can, just where you are, lift your hands to God in a gesture of gratitude. And I would just like you to, maybe the next slide, to give thanks to God for maybe someone, okay, I start with the difficult one, who is not easy to bear with or forgive. Or, if you find that really hard, then you can choose someone who has been a blessing, okay? Or if you don't, you can't think of someone, maybe you can give thanks to God for a situation or a thing, a difficult situation. Or, like I start with a hard one. Or if you find it that really hard, then maybe give thanks to God for an amazing situation.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.